Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
So I want to get straight into this word. Again, the Holy Spirit has met us here. Isn't it a beautiful thing when the Holy Spirit meets us here? Amen. When we come expectant and ready. And sometimes we don't even come ready. But the Holy Spirit does his thing anyways. And this word today is one that I wanted to preach for months. And I kept putting it off. Because I said, you know what? This so that the enemy can get us not to preach these things that need to be preached. Oh, it's not going to be for everybody. You know, you need to cover the room. And so for about 3 months, I've been sitting on this word, and it's going to be preached today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 9. Thank you, Pastor Will. Thank you, worship team. Amen. Thank you for ushering us into the presence of God. Amen. Are you there? The word of God says, as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt. David went out and was successful wherever Saul went, so that Saul sent him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. As they were coming home, when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with songs of joy, and with musical instruments. And the women sang to one another as they celebrated, "Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s." And Saul was very angry, and this saying displeased him. He said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed thousands. And what more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day on. Amen. You can take your seats. I want to talk about the very harmful, potentially deadly spirit of jealousy. And I entitled the sermon this morning, "Jealous Eyes." Jealousy remains a very relevant topic in our world today. It, probably more so than ever before, with the rise of social media. It's like we all have windows into people's seemingly perfect life, which in our minds only highlights what's not perfect in our own lives. And it fuels this spirit of jealousy. Jealousy is rooted, or is a root rather, from which so many other sins grow. Last week we talked about abiding in the vine. We talked about abiding in the vine that is Jesus. We said that it's not us who produce the fruit. We're just the branches. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. It's what we choose to abide in that produces the fruit, right? And so remember, we also said that whatever it is that you choose to abide in, that will be the thing that produces your fruit. Not every fruit is Holy Spirit fruit. And so when we abide in a spirit of jealousy or a spirit of envy, and our mind is consumed with it, the fruit that grows from that is pride and hate and bitterness and anger and self-resentment and comparison. Nothing good comes from jealousy. Now, jealousy, broadly speaking, can be a good thing. The Greek and Hebrew words for jealousy are sometimes used in a positive way. And that's because to be jealous also means to be zealous. So you can have zeal for righteous things. Scripture repeatedly tells us that God is a jealous God. He is jealous for is good. Jealousy is good when it protects what belongs to you. So fellas, if you ever see your wife flirting with another man, that should trigger the jealousy response in you. because you want to protect what belongs to you. Be jealous for her. But the other kind of jealousy, the not good kind of jealousy, is more in line with what we know as envy. This is zeal for something that is not yours. We see jealousy as early as Cain and Abel. Cain is jealous of the praise that his brother is getting from God because Abel is bringing God a more righteous sacrifice. And that spirit of jealousy stirs in Abel to the point where he gets angry and bitter and he slaughters his own brother. We see it with Jacob's wives, Rachel and Leah. The Bible says that Jacob loved Rachel. She was the one that he was after. He worked for her for 7 years. And then when his uncle did him dirty and gave him Leah instead, he said, I'm going to work another 7 years. How do you think that made Leah feel? I'm right here. He worked 14 years just to have Rachel. And that made Leah jealous. But the Bible also says that Leah gave Jacob children and Rachel envied Leah because she was barren. A generation later, Joseph's brothers were jealous that Jacob loved him so much that he was having all these dreams of one day his family bowing down before him. They were so jealous that they sought to kill him. And then they were like, you know what? Let's not kill him, but let's sell him to slavery. Mind you, all of these crazy stories of envy are just in the very first book of the Bible. By the time we get to Exodus, God has to command in the Ten Commandments, don't covet your neighbor's house or your neighbor's spouse. Stop eyeing things that don't belong to you. And it might not just be material things. It might also be favor. You are jealous for somebody else's favor. You're jealous of somebody else's anointing. You're jealous of the calling that you feel like God should have given you. You're jealous of the authority somebody else has. You're jealous of the recognition you feel you deserve, the praise you feel you are owed. That's jealousy. And as much as I hate to admit it, I've dealt with this kind of jealousy. I think many of us have. And I can tell you today that it is a ministry killer. It is an identity killer. And if it's not surrendered to God, it will torment you in so many ways. Again, I don't know who this is for, but I truly believe that people are dealing with envy in the house of God. Envy for what other brothers and sisters of Christ have that we wish we had. And it's making us angry and bitter, and we're walking around with no joy because we wish we had everybody else's lives. And it's tormenting us. If we keep reading, verse 10 says, the next day, a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing. Saul had a spear in his hand, and Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. That's some pretty serious, petty stuff right there. But that's how fully grown jealousy behaves, church. When you give yourself over to this spirit, this is what it does. It kills. Maybe it doesn't kill physically, but it kills in the heart. It causes hatred in the heart for your own family of God. Now, many of us aren't there yet. Praise God. I think many of us have jealous moments. We wrestle with thoughts of comparison and insecurities and pride, but hopefully what's happening in those moments is that the Holy Spirit is convicting us to the point that we snap out of it, we rebuke it, we continue to grow and mature. But you know what? Some of us have already given themselves over to this spirit. It's gone past tormenting and now it's influencing. That's the progression of this evil spirit. It starts out as a moment, as a seed. That seed begins to grow. It starts to torment you and then it begins to influence you. You'll notice that just two chapters before this, the Holy Spirit leaves Saul and a harmful spirit was replaced in him. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord rushed over David and the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. So it probably started out small. It probably started with a moment. Maybe it was the moment that David killed Goliath. After days of trying to defeat this giant. Maybe it was that moment. Maybe Saul became really disappointed in himself after he failed God and God rebuked him and disregarded his reign. Maybe he felt inadequate as a leader because God had rejected him. But then something else happened. As Saul began to lose influence and respect and favor with God, he notices David gaining everything that he was losing. And so Saul is looking into the life of David. The Bible says he's got his eye on David. He's hearing the praises sung about David, and he's allowing these thoughts of insecurity to fill him. Thoughts of regrets. Why did I leave? Why did I let David come into my home? And why didn't I just send him back to his father's house? And he's being tormented until finally it chooses to manifest and influence him. Now, I just want to say to anybody that is dealing with something like this right now, you're being tormented by envy. You don't have to let it go that far. You don't. And I want to say something. I want everybody to hear me today. And I want to humble you. There's going to be times where God tells you to sit down while he's elevating somebody else. Okay? That's how it is. There's going to be times where your brother is fully blessed and highly favored by God, and he keeps on winning, and you can't seem to stop stumbling over your own struggles. There's going to be seasons like that. There's going to be seasons where what you were anointed for in one season is going to be given to another person in another season. That's how it is. We have a God who works in seasons, and it's not always about you. And the moment you start letting other people's success and elevation and favor and blessing become your stumbling block, the enemy has an in to tear you apart from the inside out, to torment you in ways that'll make you implode, man. You're going to be sitting there scrolling on Instagram, seeing your brother winning at life, and you're not even going to be able to bring yourself to give him a like. You're going to keep scrolling because you can't stand to see somebody else's success in the light of your life. You're going to find yourself becoming a hater. You're going to start to dream about another life that isn't yours. You're going to start to behave as the victim, and everything is unfair. And you're going to start to become bitter and hateful and resentful. And you're going to start to blame everybody around you for your own misery. But it don't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way. What I think is so interesting in these verses is that it says Saul raved within the house. A lot of English translations don't capture what that word really means. The Hebrew word that's used there is prophesy. If you have a KJV or an NIV, it probably says Saul prophesied in his house while he was being tormented by this spirit. Why was he prophesying? I want you to understand, this is not Holy Spirit prophecy. This isn't gifts of the Spirit prophecy. This is an anointing prophecy. This is a spirit of jealousy that has taken root in Saul's heart, and it's from that root from which he speaks. Can I tell you that jealousy has a voice? And sometimes that voice even sounds spiritual. Are you with me? Jealousy has a voice, and it wants to convince you that it's from the Holy Spirit because it sounds spiritual. When someone says to you, I don't think they should be in ministry, Pastor. Their past is too messy. I don't think God wants them starting a church. I think they're operating in emotion. We don't need another church. There's too many churches. Just find a church. You don't need another church. You think everybody needs you? You see how it sounds a little spiritual? Miriam and Aaron, they question Moses' authority, saying, did God really speak through him? It sounds so spiritual to say, don't let him lead that ministry. He's still growing. He still needs discipleship. And Pastor, if you only knew what I knew about her. And I can't tell you, but just trust me. Everybody's telling me about her. It's already been three people confirmed. I hate that. And now, sometimes these points can be valid. They can be 100% valid, but depending on who they're coming from. Come on. Depending on who they're coming from, we have to discern whether it's a spirit of God or it's a spirit of jealousy manifesting in that person. Saul was prophesying from a tormented spirit. He was probably saying things like, David is just a boy. He ain't ready. He's got so much growing up to do. He might be a good warrior, but that's because he's young. He's got good knees. He will never make a good king. He has no idea what it takes to lead a nation, to lead a country. He won't be able to last 2 days. And who does he even think he is? He's overstepping. He's allowing these women to sing praises over him, over me. That's ungodly. He should have corrected them. I'm the holy one. I'm the anointed one. I'm God's chosen one. And you see how jealousy can sound spiritual. But it's just hate. It's just hate. Saul was David's number one hater. Any haters in the room? Come on. I call it when I see it, man. Why are you hating? Why are you hating? For real, like, why are you hating? What's the point of it if it's not something that's rooted deeper in there? He's too good for her. She ain't right for him. One of the scariest things about jealousy is that it's like pride. You don't always know you're a slave to it. Because again, jealousy is a root. So the things that you deal with on the surface are anger and the resentment, the comparison, the insecurities, the thoughts of inadequacy, but they all stem from something that's much deeper than that. I'll never forget when the Holy Spirit first revealed that to me. I didn't want to admit it. Nobody wants to admit when they're jealous. Nobody. It sounds, no offense, but I felt like a girl when I said it. And I told him everything and everyone I was jealous of. A few years ago, I admitted to God that I was jealous of Pastor Danny. I was jealous in his ability to make friends so naturally. This man will make you feel like he's your absolute best friend. He'll talk to anybody for hours about nothing. I'm like, bro, what are you even talking about, man? He'll come to me. He'll be like, yeah, I was talking to so-and-so for 2 hours. Like, 2 hours? What? What were you saying? But that's him. That's a skill I could never have. And I envied it. I envied it because he was able to connect with just about anybody instantly. Meanwhile, I'm over here with my social awkwardness. Don't know whether to shake your hand or hug you. And I'm always like this. I don't know what to do. I just go for the side hugs every time. That's his rule of thumb. Okay. But if you know me, you know, I've got two levels. Level one is, hey, how you doing? How you been? God bless you. What's new? Praise God. Bye. That's it. I can't do much more small talk than that because I am genuinely uninterested. I hate it. I hate it about myself. I'm pouring myself out here this morning. I am genuinely like, do we really care how your work week has been? I don't care. But I do care about deeper stuff. But to get to the deeper stuff, you got to get past the shallow stuff. And I can't stand the shallow stuff. So that's me, right? That's awkward Ryan right there. When we're just having the small talk, and hey, how's it going? How's work? You know? Level two, that's where I want to be. But it's too intense. So Melissa's like, you can't ask that question. Level two is like, tell me your deepest fear and let's unpack everything right now. That's what I want. I care about the deep stuff. I want to have those deep conversations. That's what I'm interested in. But I got to get past the shallow stuff. That's hard for me. And so I was jealous of Pastor Danny's ability to do it so naturally and so quickly. Anytime somebody new would come in, he would start talking to them. They'd be laughing. And I'd be like, ugh, him and his social skills. I started to feel convicted. Like, this is not a good feeling to have this towards my brother. But you know what I did? I started to thank God for the thing that he was good at that I was not. I started to say, God, thank you for my brother's ability to connect with people. Thank you for the gift that you've given him. That's the gift that first attracted me to him when I was 12 years old. We've been best friends for the past 23 years because of that. I said, help me to compliment him in the things that he's not as good at.
Help us to complement each other so that we function as a well-oiled machine, as the body of Christ, with no friction. I began to honor him in his strength and praise his wins. That's how you kill jealousy. It's by not watering it anymore. You got to stop watering it. You got to stop being consumed with it. You got to stop letting yourself go there. You kill it with intentional honor, intentional praise, and intentional gratitude. That's how you do it. Honor those that your flesh wants to be jealous of. Honor them. Honor them in public and honor them in private. That spirit of jealousy gets so humbled real quick when you start to honor the person that you're jealous of. Begin to praise their wins. Like that photo. Give it a love. Give it a heart. You're like, I'm just going to give it a like. I'm going to give it thumbs up. Give it a love. Like, be intentional. And you got to practice intentional gratitude. God, thank you for what I do have. Thank you for what you've given me. You know, we don't talk about Jonathan enough. Jonathan was Saul's son. Why wasn't Jonathan just as jealous as Saul? He was threatened just like Saul was. He had everything to lose. But the Bible says that his soul was knit to David. He became David's best friend and greatest champion. He tells David, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall stand next to you." That don't fly these days. It's always a competition in the kingdom of God. And it takes a real man, woman of God to say, you know what? This is what the Lord wants. I stand by it. If it means I'm not on the platform. How many of us can do that? If it means I'm not on the spotlight. Jonathan had recognized something that David that Saul refused to see. He recognized that the kingdom of God did not belong to man. It belonged to Yahweh. If God had set David to be the next king over Israel, Jonathan was going to honor that decision, stand by his side, and support him. So instead of despising the life that he wasn't going to have, Jonathan embraced the one to whom it was given and honored him. And in doing so, he honored God. So I want you to know that jealousy is selfish. And I'm almost done. This is going to be a real short word. But I want you to know that jealousy is selfish. It's a selfish thing. It is not kingdom-mindedness. It makes it about the self and not God. And in doing so, it throws out unity. It welcomes division. It causes strife between brothers. And it only wants what's best for the self and not the kingdom of God. I don't know why God made you the way that he made you. I don't know why you're in a season that you wish you weren't in. But if God is still with you, listen, if God is still with you, what are you jealous of? You got the favor of Yahweh over your life. That is a blessing. I don't know why God made me socially awkward. I don't know why he took away my hair. I don't know why I'm the whitest Mexican ever. These are things that I've like, God, why? I don't know why. Every day I'm alive, it's a cause for gratitude because it means that God still values my time here on earth. Thank you, Jesus. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to steward who I am for his glory. I will honor him with what I'm good at, and I'm going to be proud and confident about it unashamedly. I'm going to celebrate your good season, even if mine is rough. And if God wants to lift you up and bring me down, you know what? I'm going to stand by your side. I will embrace the people of God, even if they're better than me, smarter than me, more talented than me, because my life is not even about me. In fact, my life is not my own. When I gave my life to Jesus and surrendered to his lordship, I gave up my right to be jealous because he is the molder. He is the builder. I only exist to honor him. So I don't know who needs to hear this today, but be grateful for who you are. Love who you are because God loves you. Man, if we could only see ourselves the way that our Father sees us. I have a newborn and I just look at her and she's so beautiful. She looks just like me. She's so beautiful. And I kiss her and I'm like, oh, you're just, I'm enamored with her. That's the way that God, our Father, looks at us. And I'm not comparing my three beautiful children whom I love. I love all of them the same. God isn't comparing you to anybody else. So be confident in who you are. Be confident in what God has given you and steward that well. Water your own grass. Water your own grass. I close with this. In a world where everyone is trying to be someone else because everyone is jealous of someone else, let's choose to be like Jesus. Paul says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and one mind. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Men and women of God, you have got nothing to be jealous of except for your own soul. Protect your heart. Protect your mind. Protect your spirit, because God loves you. God cares for you. God wants you. Come on, go ahead and stand. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at My Pneuma Church. Thanks again, and God bless.